Tonight I'd like to invite you over to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 26. 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 26.
1 Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 26 reads this way. It says, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you again for the privilege of gathering together in your house as your people, asking for your blessing, Lord, the filling and guidance of your Holy Spirit, that we might hear from you and understand your wisdom and your ways, and Lord, not be confounded by the things of the world, but Lord, that we might understand the things of the Spirit that reveal to us all the truths that you've given to us, all the promises that you want to fulfill in each and every one of our lives. Lord, all the power, all the peace that you've given to your children, Lord, that we might walk in the things that you've provided in a way that would honor and glorify you and allow us, Lord, to be the witnesses of your great grace. Bless your word, bless your people tonight, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. The title of the message tonight is simply found there in verse 28, to bring to naught things that are, to bring to naught things that are. Or in a nutshell, we can also call this God's wisdom versus the world's wisdom. There's two different kinds of wisdom. The world has an idea, has a philosophy, but it's the wrong philosophy, right? Philosophy is the love of wisdom, but it's the wrong kind of wisdom. There's the wisdom of the world that the Bible just told us about, and then also there's the wisdom of God that God reveals to us in his word. Now, here's the crazy thing. The world thinks that the wisdom of God is foolishness. But really, I don't have enough faith to believe in their wisdom to say, well, this an explosion took place, and here we are. Right? That's like saying an explosion in an ink shop will make a dictionary. Right? Everything all alphabetical order, everything all set up, lined up. That'll never happen. I like to believe what the Bible says. In the beginning, God said, amen, and he created everything in six literal days, six 24-hour periods, not these long eons and all this compromise to try to make evolution sound okay. It's not. God created everything in 6 days. And so tonight, as we consider this, we want to follow what God says. And I want to look at three things, actually four tonight. And that is, first of all, the calling of God. And then Jesus Christ and him crucified. And then the third thought, wisdom among them that are perfect. And then the last thought will be God's revelation to them that have been prepared. That's important. God prepares a people for his honor and glory. We must be prepared. It's not something that happens automatically. It's a preparation that gets involved. Listen, Moses in the natural realm, or we will say at least not broken by the Lord yet, he was a man, as Stephen said, mighty in word and deed. He was mighty. I mean, my goodness, he took that Egyptian and he slew him, and God brought him out on the backside of the desert for 40 years to make him the most meek and humble man, that he would be what God wanted to use for his honor and glory. See, the world says, do it by force. God says, oh no, by my spirit, saith the Lord, how things bring honor and glory to me, and how we see the glory of God as well. So let's take note here of the calling of God. Back up with me, if you will, to verse 26. And notice what the Bible says here. For ye see your what? Calling. God calls us, right? For ye see your calling, brethren. So we know he's talking to believers. How that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. So you have the mighty, you have the wise in intellect, you have the noble of nobility, and God says many of them are not the ones that God is calling. And the reason for that is because they're caught up in themselves. They cannot see the Lord because what they think is their nobility or their wisdom or their intellect, right? And so the Bible says here that not many of them are called, verse 27, but God hath chosen what? the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Those that they would say, and by the way, the world thinks that Christianity, faith in Christ, is a foolish thing, but really it is real life indeed. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world and things that which are despised hath God chosen. Think about that. God has chosen the things that the world snuffs at, right? I have nothing to do with that. God says, that's exactly what I have to do with. Is it any wonder that the world can't find the Lord? Is it any wonder? Because what's required is humility. What's required is us saying, Lord, I need you to guide me. I don't know which way to go. And let me ask you a question. When does that stop? When is our dependence, when is our need for God's direction in our lives stop? Does it stop right after salvation? Okay, Lord, I've got it from here. I can take care of it now. No. Listen, every day, Lord, I need you. Every moment of every day, lest I walk amiss in my own wisdom, in my own conceit, in my own understanding, and miss what you're trying to do and work in my life. So notice what he says again, verse 28. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Well, what is that word not? Well, it means to deprive of force, to deprive of influence and power, to bring to naught the things that are, right? That the world thinks are impressive. He says, oh no, listen, those things, by the way, listen, how smart do you think all these people who believe in evolution and believe that there was no God, how smart do you think they're going to look when they look at God in the face? They're not going to be very wise then. And so listen, we're not trying to wish their ruin. We want to share with them that God is real, that they might repent and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, the Apostle Paul was Saul of Tarsus was a very noble individual, a very well-educated individual, and God had to knock him off his horse, right, before he would be able to understand, Lord, what do you want me to do? Remember that's what he said when he found out who he was? What do you want me to do? Paul was a broken man at that point. Everything he thought at that point, Paul realized it was nothing when he confronted the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God, I will remind you, told him to go to Ananias. And Ananias, as far as we know, was a nobody. In fact, he's only mentioned once in the Bible, and that's it. And he was there, and the Lord said, Paul, you need to go to him. And Paul never asked for his credentials. Amen. Before I go to him, Lord, nope, you know what? Lord, you said it. That settles it. I'm doing it. Amen. Amen. And that's what he was doing. He was following the Lord, not leaning to his own understanding. And so to bring to naught also, which by the way is the Greek word, if you want to know the Greek word, it is katargeo, and that is to cause to cease, to put an end, to do away with, to annul, to abolish the things that are, the things that the world looks to. That's the way the Lord look. By the way, remember this, the world is the enemy of God. The world system, not the people in the world, but the world system, the world philosophy is at enmity with the Lord. So he says, not the wise, not the mighty or the noble, but he's looking for the humble. He's looking for the ones that are looking for direction. And what's that purpose all about? That the glory or the boasting may be in God alone. If there's any glory, if there's any boasting, it will be in God all by himself and nobody else. So look with me, if you will, verse 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence. That's why he's bringing these things to naught. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus. But of him are we, brethren, brothers and sisters in Christ, that's who we are about. Who of God is made unto us. He, God, is our wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So who's that all about? It's about God, right? So all of these things are never found in ourselves. Righteousness, wisdom, sanctification, and redemption are all of God, not of ourselves. And so listen, and by the way, this has to be serious. I mean, God's not playing around with this. The Bible says that God is not pleased with the wicked every day. So there are people that say, oh, listen, God just accepts me unconditionally. Yes, for salvation, but he's not pleased. So let me ask you a question. How do you think the Lord feels? How do you think God feels about the people that are murderers? Is he pleased with them? How about the wicked? Is he pleased with them, those who are without the Lord and rejecting God? Wait, let me ask you this. Where does judgment begin? In the world or in God's house? See, listen, it's with us. So here's the important part. If we think it's all under grace, our salvation is, but our acceptance is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And for us to say, well, I'm covered by the blood. Well, yes, you are, but you will give an account. You will receive either a blessing and reward or loss of reward, the Bible says. So there are consequences when we face Jesus. If we are comfortable in our sin, there's a problem. We ought to be striving towards the Lord. We ought to be pressing toward the mark. What does that mean when you press toward the mark? That means your feet are turned in that direction. That means your efforts are conscientiously, it's not an accident, on purpose, pressing toward the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm afraid there's a lot of people who profess they know the Lord Jesus Christ and wink at sin. Oh, it's not important. It doesn't really matter. And listen, I promise you, listen, when we stand before the Lord, everything we do, it ought to be done for the Lord Jesus Christ. And if not, we're going to be in trouble with God. And the reason for that is because God provided everything that we need in the Lord Jesus Christ to be successful. All we have to do is invest in the talents that God has given to us. And what is that? He's given to us His Spirit that enables us to do everything. And so to take those things lightly and to not expect a change in our lives is to be fooled worse than the world because we know the truth. And to reject it, listen, and I'm not saying that you ought to roll up your sleeves and try harder, but we need to call upon the Lord to fulfill that which He's promised to do in our lives so that we can be the light in this dark and dying world that He has called us to be. He's called us to be a royal priesthood, not one that's floundering and failing the Lord Jesus Christ. So notice this here. He says in verse 30, "But of Him are ye in Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory where? In the Lord. Let him glory in the Lord." So this is God's calling to His people. By the way, the Corinthian church is a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were a troubled church. They were a sinful church. But God was not done with them. He was trying to point them to walk and follow after the Lord Jesus Christ. To put their faith and trust in what God is wanting to do for them. And you'll see that here in just a moment. That they might be found righteous. And God is wanting to do the same for us. By the way, listen. I am convinced, and tell me if I'm wrong, that churches today are condoning more garbage and more filth and allowing more things to get swept underneath the rug and not dealt with, that every child of God will stand before the Lord and give an account. And so this is important that, you know, listen, my obligation is before the Lord, as yours is, to walk upright before Him in His grace. My responsibility here is to proclaim the truth so that we all know, and by the way, I've been given the privilege really to say, this is what the Word of God is saying, and this is what we will be accountable for, and not what we think we want to do, but what God has already told us to do. Amen? We think, oh, well, we'll do this. No. We need to do the first things first that God has asked us to do and trust Him for everything else. So notice verse 1 here of chapter 2, and we'll notice that it's Christ and Him crucified, Jesus Christ. "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom or of wisdom, declaring unto you," what? The testimony of God. He didn't come to them with some new idea. He was giving them the testimony of what God has already said for them to do. This was Paul's concern and his cause that he had for his people, right? So he says, notice verse 2, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." So what was the theme for Paul that day? Jesus Christ and Him crucified, right? What does that mean? Jesus Christ, the life that I have in Christ, and the crucifixion, which is the power of God that destroys the flesh and gives us a new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he says, listen, this is what I'm concerned about, and this is the cause that we've been given, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Verse 3, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. I wasn't trying to show you how eloquent. I came to you in plain speech. I came to you telling you, this is what the Word of God is saying. I'm not trying to wow anybody, he's saying. I'm not trying to impress anybody. My main concern is to communicate to you what the wisdom of God is, that you might have that in your life as well. So he says this, by the way, verse 4, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of what? Of the Spirit. Is that word Spirit capitalized? So that means it's the Holy Spirit, right? And so let me ask you this question. Is the Holy Spirit important in the heart and mind of God? You won't get away from it in the New Testament. If you do, you're going to miss the Lord. You're going to miss God. You're going to miss Jesus Christ. If you profess to know Him and love Him, we will miss Jesus Christ. Hold your place right there and go with me to the book of Philippians chapter 1 and look at verse 19. Let's just know who this Holy Spirit is. You may have not noticed this before. Maybe you have. I hope you have. Philippians 1:19. And this is the Apostle Paul again. He says, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation. Now, is Paul already saved? Yes, of course he's already saved. So what is he talking about, my salvation? The salvation that's found in the grace and power of God. See, that's what it's... See, we are eternally saved, but we need to be saved from our flesh. We need to be saved from the world system and the influence of the devil. And our redemption is only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're just banking on your eternal life when you got born again, you will miss everything that God has laid out in the Scriptures. In fact, nothing in this Bible means anything if we're not looking to it and saying, God is speaking to me to walk in this fashion. If I'm just banking on, because I'm born again, I have eternal life, and that's it, the rest doesn't matter, then it's that. The rest doesn't matter, and you will miss everything that God has given on top of eternal salvation. You have to start with eternal salvation, but that doesn't mean that we just start doing what we want to do because we have eternal life. Listen, there are going to be children of God that are going to be shocked to have that kind of a profession. Well, I'm born again and the rest doesn't matter. That's not what the Bible says. Look at verse 19. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer. Listen to this. And the supply of the Spirit of who? Is that word Spirit capitalized? Who is that? And who does it belong to? They're all one. The supply of the Spirit, it's Jesus Christ. So if we make little, and by the way, that's why the church will be powerless. Listen, has God called us to tell Him how to go? Or has He said, follow me? He said, follow me. So if we're following Him, where should our mouth be going? Should our mouth be speaking? Look what it did for Peter. Or should we be a little bit humble and be quiet and say, Lord, I'll listen to you. I'll listen to what your word is. I'll follow after you. Listen, God's not playing games. And by the way, I'm not either. I take this very seriously, eternally seriously. And so God wants us to understand, listen, we're going to stand before God Almighty one day. And then you tell me how we'll fare if we're standing in our own wisdom. Didn't he say that God was going to bring that to naught? May we listen. May we listen to every word of God and be faithful and not sweep what we know to do under the rug and say it's covered by grace. You will find yourself dismayed in disbelief that you were wrong, just like the apostles did during their earthly ministry. They thought they were doing the right thing. And they loved the Lord. And I'm not saying you don't love the Lord. But be careful that you take heed according to God's word and not your thinking. And not what the world is saying. It's important. Listen, God is serious about His church. And He's not playing games. And He has given to us the plan. Amen? So we need to focus on the plan and get our crazy ideas out of our head and say, I'm going to follow what God is saying to do. And it's important. Or we're going to miss what God wants us to do. Listen, I had the privilege of talking to Brother Scott Borland. And we shared, and I spoke with him out here. And you know, if you read his reports, tell me if I'm wrong, Brother John, every month it seems like he's got people being baptized. Is that the truth? Yeah. And so I said, Brother, we were chatting and talking, and I said, Brother, I got to ask you a question. I want you to tell me about your outreach ministry. And I want you to know, we try to go out every Thursday when the weather is permitting. And he says, we try to go out 3 times a month when the weather is permitting. We try to go out 3, and I'm going to tell this story again because the Sunday morning group needs to hear this. But I'm going to share this with you tonight because this is important. He says, I want you to know, we had a big carnival, we did this and we did that. And last year, and this is rare, he said, Vacation Bible School and all that. He said, last year we had one family come. Well, that's it. One family come. But he's having baptisms almost every month. People baptized. I said, Brother, how do you count to that? He says, the thing that does it most is all of our church members are speaking to their neighbors and bringing their neighbors to church. They're speaking to their coworkers and bringing the coworkers to the church. And they're speaking to their family members that don't know Jesus. Those are the ones that are being saved. Because God's church is being serious about what God commissioned them to do. And if we're not careful, we'll just say, well, you just go ahead and tell us and show us how people are going to come in. Look in the mirror. That's how God's going to do it. And if we're not serious about telling people about Jesus, then don't expect the blessings of God, because we're failing God in what he's commissioned the church to go and do. Listen, is Jesus drawing near? He's drawing nigh. What's the church doing? What are we doing? How many tracts are you giving out every week to somebody that you can in a store, in a gas station pump, leave it in the bathroom? How serious are we about promoting the gospel of Jesus Christ more than our little appointments and these things and that thing that are going to pass away? No, we're worried about what we got to do and what we don't want to do and all these other things, and we're missing Jesus. Listen, Jesus is coming again. Go back to our text, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul's concern and cause. Wisdom among them that are perfect. Look what he says here in verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. Where is Paul's wisdom coming from? Where? The Word of God. Is it not? Question, where does your wisdom come from? Where do your ideas for God come from? Are they on your mind or are they in the Word of God? And are we obeying what the Word of God is saying, or are we saying, no, it doesn't matter, I'll just do it my way? This is important. Don't expect the blessings of God if we're not serious with the Lord. Don't think that you can disobey the Lord in the little things, because it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. If you're unfaithful in the little things, you'll be unfaithful in what? In much. If you're unfaithful in the little things, you're unfaithful in much. That's the Word of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Did you hear that? This is the mystery of God. The world doesn't understand it. God's people won't understand it unless they're tuned into the Lord. But we speak the wisdom of God in the mystery, even the hidden wisdom. Did you hear it? It's hidden. Which God ordained before the world. That means he commissioned it. He purposed it. Before the world unto our glory. Did you hear that? There's a hidden wisdom of God that Paul is telling to the Corinthian church that you've got to seek God for, or you'll never find it. Look at verse 8, which none of the princes of, of this world knew, for had they known it, and he's speaking about the Pharisees, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Aren't they the ones that crucified the Lord of glory? Notice verse 9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man. Listen, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us, how? I'm sorry, how? And is that Spirit capitalized?
Yes.
How important is the Holy Spirit? Tell me. You will miss the mysteries and the hidden things of God and walk in your own wisdom and be found faulted before God. And that's for all of us. I've got to remind myself, listen, I am one step away from leaning to my own understanding. I need the Lord every moment of every day. So he says, but God, verse 10, hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Listen, why? For the Spirit, not our intellect, not our programs, not our pleasures, for the Spirit, capital S, searcheth all things, listen, yea, the deep things of God. Without the Spirit, you'll not know the deep things of God. Can't. For what man knoweth the things of man save the Spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but what? Who? The Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know, listen, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, but you won't know them without the Spirit. We won't know them without the Spirit. Verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which who teacheth? The Holy Ghost teacheth. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. In other words, what we think the Lord is, you know, people say, well, I believe God wants me to do this. I believe, well, show me in the Bible where God wants you to do that. I believe God wants me to preach the Word of God. I believe you can find that in the Bible. I believe God has called me to live a holy life. I believe you can find that in the Bible. I believe God wants me to be a royal priesthood. I believe God, you can find that in God's Word. I believe that God wants me to love everybody and be kind and be gentle and be filled with the Spirit of God. I think you can find that in the Bible. Instead of being busy about so many things that are not in the Bible. So he says, verse 14, that, listen very carefully here. But the natural man. He's telling this to the church. Hear me carefully on this. The old man has been crucified with Christ. He's dead. You have eternal life. But you still deal with the natural man. The natural way of thinking things. Can't you choose to think spiritually or think naturally? Right? The world says, after all, everybody's got to live. And they try to justify not doing the things that God has said to do. Right? I remember when I got saved, so people that were lost told me, you can't afford to tithe. You can't afford to take your time and go tell people about Jesus. And bless God, I'm glad I didn't listen to them. Because the Bible told me different. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. You can ask my wife sometime, all right? My father-in-law, who's at home with the Lord, had a painting business and had a nursing home business, and things were thriving. He was in his 30s, somewhere in his mid-30s. Things were rolling. Things were rolling, and God called him to preach. He sold it all. And I don't know if it was his mom and dad, but somebody told him, now you'll starve. Now you'll starve. They know, listen, they were in Sullivan, Missouri. Did you make it to St. Louis? Was it in St. Louis? Their U-Haul caught on fire. And what do you think the people that were telling him, now you'll starve, are thinking after they heard that? Do you know he never starved one time? He never starved. When I was dating my wife and we were already planning to get married, minimum wage. Now, I moved to Missouri by faith. I went through all my savings going to seminary school, and I came to Missouri with $600, 300 of it I gave for the moving van. I didn't know where we were going to go. I didn't know. Brother Williams, my father-in-law, said, I know a man that I think will, that you'll enjoy, and I think he'll let you stay with him. Brother Chester Lohman Sr. And he was right. I enjoyed it. Stayed with him for about 2 months. And enjoyed that time with him. Every night we'd get together and talk about the Lord. And listen, many times we would I would look in the refrigerator. They gave me the freedom to do that. I don't know. They didn't know what they were doing. I don't know. I would go over to my wife's mom and dad's house after work, and I'd look in the refrigerator. I'd see absolutely nothing. 30 minutes, 40 minutes later, I went sat out in the living room, and 30, 40 minutes later, my wife's mom would say, "Okay, dinner is served," and I don't know where she got the food, but it was laid out every time. I can say, and I know my in-laws could say, I have been young and I've been old, and I've never seen the seed of God begging bread. God will never let us down. Look at verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the Spirit of God. He's talking to the church. For they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. They're certainly not talking about the lost world. Listen, verse 15. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him? We'll tell him what to do. Listen, but we have the mind of Christ. We've been given the mind of Christ. Only if we yield to him. Only if we say, Lord, my wisdom is foolishness. The wisdom of this world is foolishness. Where is God's wisdom found? In the Bible, in the Holy Spirit, and in the Word of God. So if the Word of God is saying one thing and we're doing the different, the opposite thing, whose spirit, whose wisdom is that? Not God's. God is not playing games. God is serious. He said, those who seek me shall find me. You cannot say you're seeking the Lord and not doing what God has called us to do. Listen, you have to make a conscientious effort to put tracts in your pocket to hand them out, or they won't be there. And God will give you an opportunity, and you won't have a tract to give it. We are the light of the world to bring people to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't believe it, you won't make a single effort to do it. And that's not the wisdom of God. You'll say, oh, that's the preacher's calling. Really? Then you better take salvation out of there too, because 2 Corinthians chapter 5, when he tells us that behold, all things have become new, he in that same chapter tells us we have been all given the ministry of reconciliation. Reconciling people with Jesus Christ. So what is the church's first priority? The first priority is to walk with God humbly. The second priority is to be a bond slave, a vessel for the honor and glory of the Lord that he can fill for his honor and glory. You and I will give an account before the Lord by his word. Not by what somebody has said or what you have thought. And aside of that, listen, we can be found faithful. Why? Because Jesus Christ shed his blood, died on the cross. That's our redemption. And rose again. That's our power. Not ours, the Lord's power, that he's resurrection power to walk. Isn't that what he says? To walk in the newness of life. Who's new? Our new life? In ourselves or in Jesus? It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's time that we say, Lord, I need to be about you. Because you tell me what in this world is going to matter when it's all said and done and you're standing before the Lord Jesus Christ. All these little things we want to do, or God's will. Listen, he died and shed his blood that he could work and use his people, his bride, for his honor and glory to shine a light, his light, into the world. So God says, listen, he said, follow me, and I will lead you into the green pastures. Amen? Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne tonight, thanking you, Lord, for your word and for your Holy Spirit that guides us into all truth. Lord, may we not be so smart in ourselves to neglect you. May we realize that you have called us and commissioned us to be the light of the world. May we not take that lightly. May we realize that without you, we can truly not do anything, and we won't do anything. We will talk about it all day long, but we won't do anything about it unless you are real in our lives. And so, Lord, open up our hearts, open up our minds that we might be faithful to you and that we would stand righteous by your righteousness when we stand in front of you and hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And we'll give you all the praise, Lord, because it'll be all of you or it won't happen at all. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.